Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you and to represent you merrily and verily in this podcast-a-sphere, if you will.
I think you're going a little too far with maybe. That. But we are a podcast.
We are indeed a podcast. That much is very true, and we are back for episode 35.
Yes.
I'm realizing we're getting dangerously close to episode 52.
Okay.
But you know what that means. 1 year of Haunt Weekly.
Wow.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Getting a little close. But anyways, it's good to be back this week. Last week, of course, we had the wonderful first episode of Women in Haunting. That was a very, very, very cool talk we had there with Holly.
Yes.
I think it went very, very well. Holly Chrysler.
Not like the car.
I know. That's the problem, is now I have the car in my head.
Sorry, that's how I remembered not to say it that way.
Anyways, but it is good to be back. We do not have a special guest this week, but we will be continuing that series soon. We have a couple other people lined up.
Yeah, probably one a month for a little while.
Yeah, we want to space them out a little bit. We don't want to just bombard with this. It's an important topic. And there's lots of people interested in speaking with us because, you know, they're crazy. We're grateful for it. But seriously, we are looking forward to continuing this, and we'll be spacing it out as we go. But on that note, we do have another very special episode this week. A topic that, okay, when we first started this, we had a running gag between the two of us.
Uh-huh.
Where if we ever ran out of topic ideas, we would just look at the categories of topics at every haunted attraction convention, whether it's HauntCon or Chicago Frights or whatever, we'd look at the list and just pick a topic from there, and if we needed help, get someone on it.
I think this joke was so inside that it was only you.
we had actually made this discussion that we would just simply pull from haunted attraction convention, if we needed. Mm-hmm. We have not really done that much.
Yeah, no.
These topics have been pretty much our own.
Yeah.
But this one is definitely a topic that is at every haunted attraction convention, is it not?
It's at every business convention.
That is true. That is very true. It's not just our industry. It's every industry.
Right.
But anyway, since we are talking about conventions and conferences, maybe we should do the conference reminders.
Maybe we should, because we missed them last week.
We didn't miss them.
Intentionally skipped them.
We wanted every precious moment we could give Holly.
Yes.
And I gotta say, it was time well spent.
It was.
Not often I spend 50 minutes with a woman and she's not running away screaming.
Ha ha ha.
Anyways,
all right. I'll kick them off.
Yes, please.
On that note.
Someone please start.
Okay, we've got Haunt-Fair August 6th and 7th at the Clarion Hotel
in
Rankin.
This week, people.
This week. Rankin Coma, New York. Haunt-faire.com.
Yeah.
Fashion show, car show, art show, and more. Haunted tour bus of Long Island, not a haunt tour, just they go and drive you to haunty places.
In a bus.
Spooky places.
That sounds kind of cool, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just don't expect it to be a haunt tour, is the reason we keep cautioning against that. But if you are not able to make it to New York, and perhaps you're a little more West Coast, the same dates, August 6th and 7th at the Pasadena Convention Center, it's Scare LA! Find out more at ScareLA.com. Elvira is the host, and there are other celebrity guests to be had. Why? Because it's L.A. That's where the celebrities live.
Kind of, yeah.
It kind of makes sense.
Okay. Then, August 12th through the 14th.
Hey, my birthday's in the middle of that.
It is. We have Chicago Room Escape Conference with the Trance World. The people who put on Trance World put this on, and it's RoomEscapeShow.com for more info.
If you get in there, though, you might have a harder time getting out.
Yeah, it is an escape room, so.
I would be very disappointed if I didn't. Just saying. Walk in, walk right back out. Oh, I'm not an escape room. Anyways,
yep.
I should probably stop making jokes. But later in August, August 27th to 28th, it is Halloween and Haunt Fest at the Arlington Convention Center in Arlington, Texas. doy. Mm-hmm. If you can't figure out what the Arlington Convention Center is, I can't help you. Check it out at HalloweenAndHaunt.com. Thanks again to Brian Foreman, a Haunt Topic, for the heads up.
Yep. Then, September 9th through the 11th, we have Mask Fest, Marriott Indianapolis East, MaskFest.com.
All kinds of makeup and special effecty stuff will be there, too.
Yep.
Be sure, as Crystal is apt to warn you every time, this is right before season begins, don't get sick.
Yeah, don't spread the germs on the mask.
Flu does not go well with opening night, man, just telling you.
Nope.
Don't screw that one up. And finally, November 11th through 12th is the Legendary Haunt Tour in Pittsburgh. They will be visiting Scare House on the 100 Acres Manor. You get to ask those 100 Acres Manor guy about the haunt they built in Dubai,
yes,
which we spoke about a few weeks ago on the news. And if you want to learn more, it is at legendaryhaunttour.com. Please do not screw up the domain. I cannot promise where you will land. Otherwise, this is the internet, folks.
That's very true.
For all I know, it could be some horrible, horrible website. You can land on, like, ISIS's homepage on the internet that way.
God. Really?
I don't know what their homepage is. I've never been there.
No, neither. Try to avoid it.
If it's Legendary Haunt Tours 1T, then we're in trouble. And they're also probably committing trademark infringement, but that's a separate problem. This is ISIS.
I don't think that would be a problem for them.
Trademark infringement is okay. Not exactly bad for them.
Okay.
For
them. So misspelling it takes you to nowhere.
Okay.
It doesn't exist.
Spooky nowhere.
Yes. It doesn't exist.
Okay, fair enough. All
Maybe
right.
they should buy that just in case.
Maybe just in case. That might not be a bad idea. Okay, so we wanted to do a post about guerrilla marketing. The main reason being so that I could get some use out of my 4-year degree. Actually, this is all true here. My degree is in advertising way back when. I swear my degree is not in copyright and plagiarism issues, my day job, or my passion of haunting. Turns out these are not college courses.
No.
Weird how this works out.
Yeah.
But yes, so marketing and advertising, my degree's in advertising, background in marketing. I've been wanting to talk about guerrilla marketing for quite some time because it is the marketing haunters and indeed businesses seem most interested in.
Right.
But before we can do that, we kind of have to define guerrilla marketing, at least a little bit.
At least
a little bit, all right.
Yeah.
Now, this turns out to be true. This is a true fact, unlike the fake ones we make up every week on this show. What's following is truth. The term was actually coined by Jay Levinson in his 1984 book, Guerrilla Advertising. So, thought that was pretty interesting trivia.
It is.
And in that book, he described it as such. Guerrilla marketing is an advertising strategy that focuses on low-cost, unconventional marketing tactics that yield maximum results. Now, like, 80% of that is kind of bull, because it's like wasted words there.
Right.
Extraordinary. We can focus on the keywords here.
Yeah.
Low-cost and unconventional.
Right.
And it's interesting, because every time I'm at a convention, any type of convention, like I said, it's every business, but haunted houses especially, where guerrilla marketing is discussed, all everyone hears is low cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's the part of that sentence they heard. The other 80 plus words, or what, I don't know, 80% of it gets completely ignored. The problem with that is simply going low cost does not usually yield effective results. And we have seen that firsthand.
We have. In fact, we had a friend who was going to go a traditional advertising route that was low cost, or a more guerrilla style marketing. I don't know, where do direct mailers fall into?
It's fairly traditional, but because that's one of the things, like, guerrilla marketing is not like a bright line rule.
Yeah.
Like, I specifically, like, you'll see it slow down on the show notes, I struck out Groupon Living Social, but since I wrote the show notes, I've been kind of thinking that they kind of can be at the same time.
Yeah, well, I think that the door-to-door advertisements that are left.
That's fairly guerrilla.
That's more guerrilla-style marketing than, say, a TV spot.
Exactly. There is shades of gray here.
which was the choice he was facing. We were telling him to go more towards the targeted market, mm-hmm. which would be the door-to-door things, and he chose the other and didn't see a lot of good come out of that. So...
It didn't go so hot. And we'll talk more about, I'm sure we'll talk more about that case study, a few others we've been involved with as we go.
Right.
But yeah, the problem is low cost by itself is rarely, if ever, effective.
Yeah.
If you want a whole podcast about how to get cheap newspaper ads, how to get cheap TV spots, dude, I can help you with that. Yep. That actually really plays to my degree.
Yeah.
I can really teach you that. But the problem is, I don't think it's particularly useful because the things that make those low cost also make them very ineffective.
Right.
I mean, you can do things like work and trade for a news with a newspaper and get cheaper ads. Or, like, one thing I've seen newspapers doing is they will, Haunt's doing, rather, is they will run classified ads for actors and also use that to help spread word of mouth for the Haunt. The problem is, that doesn't always work very well. It's probably pretty good at getting you potential actors, but not very good at promoting the Haunt itself.
Right, because people who are reading the classified gigs ad on Craigslist are not your potential customers most of the time. They're not the target
your
you're trying to reach.
Overlap is not jiving there. So, yeah, think about those types of things as you do this. So, a few things that are not guerrilla marketing real fast.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's easier in my book to define what something is by what it isn't.
It is.
I would say anything traditional advertising. Mm-hmm. That includes newspaper, TV, radio, billboards, etc. Now, that being said, in 2016, one of the things that you just got me thinking about, I don't know if I consider direct mailers traditional advertising anymore. That's something that really fell out of the wayside. In fact, I read, this is another true fact, not a fact I made up. the Victoria's Secret catalog is ceasing publication.
Right.
Direct mail is a dying art, if you will, as far as a mainstream advertising, but that does potentially open the door to more guerrilla-style campaigns.
Right.
You're not going to get drowned out in that noise.
Right, exactly. And I know that one thing that we really read every time it comes to the house is a local magazine of ads called The Clipper here.
Yeah. I'm sure every area has one.
Yeah, or something similar, yeah. Yeah, we used to have two in this area. Now we only have one.
Yeah, we only have one we get regular. I think there's one that's monthly and one that's weekly. Maybe something like that. I don't know. I may be stretching.
Or maybe monthly and quarterly.
I don't know.
But
the point of the matter is, there's less noise there. And by the way, the reason Victoria's Secret was a big deal is because they are the last of the major catalog providers. It was like Sears. And then who was it after Sears? I'm trying to remember. It was Sears. And then there was another one. And Victoria's Secret was third. And then Victoria's Secret, slowly through attrition, became number one in the catalog game. And now they've abandoned it.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know who's number one now. Maybe Toys R Us because of Christmas. I have.
Yeah, possibly.
It's possible. They only do one a year, but that's $1,000 catalog.
Well, and actually, they do the, they put their sales into the newspaper that's delivered to houses.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
But I also, in the show notes when I wrote this, I said I also don't include Groupon or Living Social. But I don't know anymore. And the reason I don't know anymore is because they both have kind of, like, on the opposite side of the far side, the bell curve now.
Right.
They peaked a few years ago as far as, like, everyone was doing them. They were totally mainstream.
Right.
Now they're less mainstream again. And the A may mean you can secure better deals. And B means, once again, less noise, less clutter.
Right. I do still hear ads for Groupon and Living Social, and they come up every once in a while. But I know we aren't as active with them as they were a few years
ago. Actually, I unsubscribed from both on my email account, my main email account.
Gotcha.
So that's one reason. And this is a divisive topic. The mere mention of Groupon and Living Social and Haunt community is a sure way to get stuff thrown at you.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a stand one way or another if it's right for your business, because some people, like Holly, seem to have had great success with it. Some people, like Haunts We Know, have had miserable failures with it.
Right.
So, it's going to depend upon your haunt, your situation, your location, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
There's variables we can't predict, but still, divisive topic warning there, but merely by mentioning the word.
Yep.
Also, flyers can be a part of guerrilla marketing, but I don't think it's guerrilla marketing by itself. Leaving your stack of flyers at Spirit and other Halloween stores is a good thing to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, because it is still low cost.
Yeah, you definitely need to do it.
It's reaching out to your target audience, too, Halloween lovers.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's not really guerrilla marketing. It's a very mainstream thing to do.
Yeah.
And, hey, we do it.
We do.
We also, leave them at places that you wouldn't think to leave flyers.
Right.
Because we're a community haunt, so we're able to be in all the stores, shops, restaurants, bars.
Yeah.
Within like a mile radius of us.
Yeah, everywhere that we think our potential customers are going to be, we either go ourselves and introduce ourselves to the owners and say, hey, can we leave this here? We're doing a free thing. We've been doing it 10 years now. And they usually have no problems with us leaving it.
Exactly. And by the way, speaking of flyers, always have flyers.
Yes.
I'm going to pound this one into the microphone over the course of this.
Okay. And this is not just during season.
No.
But have extras throughout the year, because we give them out every time we talk to people and we tell them about the haunt. We make sure that we have flyers in the car to hand them, to give them at least the information from last year.
You are not currently in your house and you do not have flyers on you or within easy access, you should have flyers on you.
Yeah.
Right? Happening for some reason?
Yeah. And
the trunk of your car should be as far away as they get.
And what should be on a flyer?
Basically, you want first off, make your flyer visually distinctive. I'm not going to go into too much on this.
Right.
Because, like I said, we may actually wind up talking way more about it later.
I'm sure we
will. About print media, especially in general. But have a flyer that's visually distinctive. Our industry has a tendency to make flyers that all look the same. You can't tell Peter from Paul.
Yeah, they all look like they came from the same horror design website. And some of them do.
A lot of them do. But do something distinctive. Make sure it has all the pertinent information. It has to have your name, your website, social media accounts, when you're open, where you're at, what the cost is, and basically get a feel for what the haunt will be like, either through your visuals or your words if necessary.
Yep.
So that's the core information, I would say.
Okay.
But basically, think about the 5 W's and the H, when, where, why, how, and all that stuff. When, where, why, I forgot all the... But, you know, get all the information. I just completely forgot the 5 W's. I am so ashamed of myself right now.
They're going to take the degree back.
Oh, my God. Who, what? When, where, why, how. Those six things. My God, I'm sitting here counting like a 5-year-old in this room. they're kicking down the door. I can hear them storming my office.
Drew Niani's going to be coming after you.
Oh, man. And she's hopped up on Coca-Cola. She can do it, too, man. She weighs 98 pounds. She'll come barrel rolling through that window behind you.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we wanted to basically spend a lot of time this episode talking about some of ideas we had for guerrilla marketing tactics. Either we've seen work elsewhere.
Right.
We've heard others say work.
Yep.
Or have used ourselves.
Yes.
So that's the three categories.
Because, you know, it's getting to time where build's coming together and you're probably thinking, how am I going to get people to my haunt?
Yes, exactly. Well, here's some ideas that you might not have thought of.
Yeah.
The first one's probably my favorite. I'm not going to lie to you. I love this one for reasons that are personal to me, I admit.
Yeah.
But costume character visits. It always kind of blows my mind. Here in New Orleans, we have a parade culture.
Yes.
We have more parades than you probably have holidays.
Yes. Parades back up traffic all the time.
Yes. We have tons of parades. A lot of haunts in this area will pay money to participate in parades. They'll buy floats. They'll buy the ability to have a crew in the parade.
Right. There's Crew of Boo, which is the Halloween parade.
Mm-hmm.
Happens sometime in October.
Yeah, we never can go because we're busy.
We're always working.
We have no idea when it really is.
Yeah. I could probably look that up real quick while you talk more about this idea.
But one of the things that always kind of is weird to me is, okay, that's fine and that's great. And if it's I don't know how much that costs, honestly. If it's affordable, why not? It's a great idea. But also, why stop there? Show up at festivals and other big gatherings.
This year it's going to be October 22nd, so
yeah,
Saturday before.
We're not going.
Yeah.
Forget it. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. But anyways, probably not. But yeah, show up at festivals and gatherings. Is there a place in your town where there's always a good crowd?
Right.
Try going there sometime.
Yeah, we will go down to the local bar that has a TARDIS outside because it's a nerd bar. It's an eclectic culture. They have zombie pub crawl there between the two bars. So any place that's on a zombie pub crawl or a zombie walk list, make sure that, you know, you consider participating in those as well as showing up not on those days that those events are going on.
Yeah, but if the culture is right for it, show up. like I said, any public gatherings, any festivals or fairs that are taking place, if it's a private one, definitely ask for permission. But this kind of surprised me, how easy it is to get permission for this.
Right.
Call an event and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. We're from this haunt. We want to come. We want to bring a couple costume characters and hang around and have fun and pal around. I think I've only heard of one place actually refusing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely do it. But be respectful about it. And by respectful, I mean don't do anything inappropriate for that venue or event.
Right.
Don't wear tons of gory makeup to a church venue.
Well, no. Yeah.
We've seen this happen.
Right. No, we have lots of church events around us during October, pumpkin sales and festival things. And we'll go to them in toned-down costumes. Bernie sometimes makes an appearance.
Usually, because his is just top hat cane, old guy costume.
Yeah.
Everyone likes Bernie. Bernie's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but none of the inside characters are really revealed.
No.
Though. None of our big...
This is a great time if you have a title character.
Yeah.
To bring him out.
Yeah.
Don't just have him at the front door. Don't just have him in the haunt. Bring him out. Bring him to these events. However, I will say this. If you have, like, a big, awesome build costume...
Right.
This is a place to bring it, because people are going to see that over the crowd. They're going to want photos. They're going to want to get out there and get photos with it.
Right.
And by the way, always stop to take pictures as you're doing this.
Yes.
Every time someone says, can I take a picture? Yes.
Yes.
Boom. Yes. Take two, you know.
Yeah. What if you had a sign to hold up that said your haunt name?
That's a good idea. You see, this is guerrilla marketing here. Or, you know, if it was somehow like on the back of your jacket or on the front of your shirt or whatever, as long as you're in costume and it's something that people want to get a photo of and want to interact with and want to see, that's fine. Like I said, bigger is better.
Right.
But
there were a few places that we've been that people have asked us, that we've asked to take photos with mm-hmm. their stuff. And they said, sure, as long as you hold the sign that promotes our cause. You know,
that's fine. That's perfectly
fine. That's pretty cool.
Have a helper go around with the costume character.
Yeah.
They're the ones in charge of giving out flyers or whatever other swag you want.
Yeah.
This is a good opportunity if you have cups or some other kind of swag.
Beads.
Just something else other than just a flyer.
Right.
That is because when I was in marketing, there's an expression about swag.
Yeah.
If you want something to not be thrown away or not be forgotten, make it shiny or make it heavy.
Yeah.
Those are the two things. If you do one of those two, it will not get lost.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, you look in my office right now,
yeah.
and all the random crap I've picked up over the years, everything that's made it is shiny and or heavy to some degree.
Yeah. And actually, one of our line actors who mm-hmm. created his costume last year, mm-hmm. custom built for him because...
He needed the custom build.
He can do that. He has the skills to do that. He actually went with you.
Yeah,
to a couple of stores.
Yeah, we called up a couple of stores the day before Halloween, I think it was.
Right.
The day before opening. I can't remember which it was. And we hit him up, and that's the thing. This was like an entire spur-of-the-moment deal.
Yeah.
We just it was actually his idea.
Well, because he had gone in to buy something, and he was telling them about it, his costume that he was making, and they're like, well, come back.
We want to see it. And so we called him and said, well, why stop there? Let's also see if we can hit up here. And we're on the phone and calling these places up, just asking permission to swing by and entertain the kids.
Yeah. Hand out flyers.
We actually saw people come from there. So
yeah.
It does work, even the day of. But, yeah, the main thing is get out there, get in public, get in crowds, and go to where a crowd already exists.
What about wearing your costumes on public transit? Can you imagine Chris on a bus in this?
There'd be memes about that. The 7-foot-tall, 8-foot-tall ghoul.
Yes.
And that would be interesting. But yeah, basically be where there are crowds. Public transit, if you, like New Orleans public transit sucks. So it probably wouldn't work so good.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about the ferry, actually.
Huh.
Because you could ride the ferry over, walk around the French Quarter.
Does anybody actually take the ferry anymore? I don't honestly know the answer to that. We don't have time for that conversation.
Okay.
But anyways, point is, be where there are people, be in costume, give out flyers, and get your name out there that way.
Okay.
It's a simple, beautiful, other than your time, it is free. I don't know, yes, time equals money, blah, blah, blah. But the point of the matter is, we're looking for cheap money ways, not necessarily cheap time ways. Because that's one of the things about guerrilla marketing, by the way, mm-hmm. is it doesn't scale. Right. You're not going to advertise Coca-Cola this way, necessarily.
No.
Because it doesn't scale properly, but it does work well for one, you know, a limited targeted audience, which is what we're after here.
Right.
Also, by the way, if you're doing that, don't limit it to just season. If your state fair is in the summer and they will let you show up in costume, go. House of Shock has a Mardi Gras float here, for example. Same type of deal. Always be out there in public. And if you have flyers, if you have things that people take with them, they will remember you.
Right. I also see, like, several vehicles with the House of Shock logo driving around year-round.
Yep.
It's in their back glass window. It's really big. Easy to spot.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even put car wraps and car signs in this.
No, but that is another type of gorilla.
That's another list. That's definitely something else out there.
Yeah.
Another tip. Add that to the list. Anyways. Another one I find very important that gets overlooked a lot in the haunt industry is business partnerships.
Right.
Cooperate with local businesses to offer swapping discounts of some sort, where you have the cost, but you can potentially double the foot traffic a little bit here.
Right.
This also lets you cross-promote each other both on the website and on physical site, too.
Yeah.
Which is very, very handy. Good candidates, and just for things I consider good candidates for this type of cross-promotion, other haunts. I staunchly do not believe on the whole other haunts are your competition.
No.
I believe, because most people go to multiple haunts.
Yeah.
Most people exit haunt one, and what's the first thing they ask their buddies? Where to now? Where's the next haunt? Where are we going?
Let's go again.
Give them a direction.
Yeah.
Send them somewhere. Not only that, a better customer experience for you, for your haunt, but they'll be doing the same to you, and you'll be getting a lot of benefit from it. Failing that, Halloween/party stores are a safe bet.
Right.
They're always looking for these types of partnerships, especially since your attraction is going to be open likely as long as they are if they're a seasonal store.
Yeah.
The overlap there is just about perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Also, anything geographically close. One of the more brilliant ones I've seen was a restaurant near a haunt. They hooked up in such a way that you could get a free ticket with so many entrees or whatever. I can't remember what exactly it was, but like you spend...
Right, but it was like a customer loyalty card, to get a ticket to somewhere else.
You buy these things from, buy a good dinner for two or spend $50 at the restaurant, you get a free ticket. Or if you buy two tickets, you get a free appetizer or something at the haunt.
Yeah, I think I've also seen that done with a local pizzeria on a haunt.
Yeah, I think that might be what I'm actually thinking of.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea there is, once again, that give them somewhere to go and give them somewhere to come from mentality.
Right, and family restaurants are a great location to try to work with, especially if they're locally owned. Chains
not so much, yeah.
Yeah, chains are a little bit difficult even to leave flyers at.
Yeah.
For both restaurants and for Halloween stores or places that sell Halloween stuff.
Yeah, we're very fortunate where we are in New Orleans and that there is such a family-owned restaurant history here.
Right.
Family and locally-owned restaurants here that we don't run into that too much.
Right.
There's just not that many chain restaurants.
Yeah, but I do remember a big party supply store that will not let us leave flyers.
And we won't even mention their name.
Yeah.
We'll just say they were in the city.
Yeah.
And they were a party store.
Yeah.
Long and short of it is, do what you can in that regard with working with nearby and local businesses. It can really do well. Also, malls are pretty good if you're a big enough haunt to get a partnership going with a mall. The reason is malls have the foot traffic.
Right.
And that gets you, once again, on site. In a place with a lot of eyeballs, and if you have the kind of foot traffic to reciprocate that, it can be a great symbiotic relationship, especially since a lot of haunts do open up somewhat close to a larger mall.
Right, and not only that, but take your characters to the mall.
Once again, and that can be part of that symbiotic relationship, part of that deal.
Yep.
Come here, and the mall can even help you promote that. Come here Thursday, whatever, to meet so-and-so from the haunt.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll even set up Santa's Village.
I was just thinking that. They should totally have a haunted house village.
Oh my God, I'm totally down for this idea.
Let's get in touch with our local one and see if they'll let us.
They will not let us. But
why?
I don't know. But they might let a bunch of larger haunt than us do it. I think that'd be really cool. But yeah, some examples of deals you can do. One free ticket if you spend X dollars at the first place. $5 off a ticket if you book for the come with a ticket from here.
Right.
Free VIP upgrades with receipt. Also, sometimes you can add free t-shirts or free cheap merch, whatever floats your boat. Also, you know, and the flip side, a free drink or appetizer with a haunt ticket at a restaurant. That's the one, like I said, I saw previously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my thought there is basically find businesses that are a natural connection and use it. Just use it and believe me, and like I said, don't be shy about approaching other haunts. At the end of the day, most haunters seem to see it my way.
Right. Because we are a small community and we should all get along.
We all get along. And a rising tide really does lift all boats. If there are more people going to haunts, all haunts will benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this one is another one of my personal favorites. Contests.
Yay!
I like contests. Because contests are cheap and pretty much promote themselves. If you're doing it right, you're paying almost exclusively for the prize.
Right.
And yes, that prize might be expensive, but it's still a hell of a lot cheaper than all paying for all the promotion that prize may get you.
Right. Well, and it also could be, you know, it doesn't have to be an expensive prize. It could be a prize that you make for the haunt, you know. Have this prop at the end of season.
Yeah.
You know, win this thing.
Yeah, I didn't think of that one in this list. That's a good idea. Yeah, the main cost of a contest, if you're doing it right, is the prize. Because the idea is, you buying that prize, you putting it out there, is going to make it so that the contest is promoted by others. Whether it's the media promoting it or the people entering the contest that are going to promote it.
Right.
One or the other. Example contest, the most basic is enter your information to win a prize.
Yeah.
A prize could be free tickets, it could be a prop at the end of haunt season, it could be your photo taken with character, whatever.
Free t-shirt.
It could be literally anything. Just bear in mind, the bigger the better, the badder, the more kick-ass the prize, the more entrance you'll get.
Yep.
You got to spend more to get more, but it's still not silly expensive considering that this is an incredibly powerful way to build up your email / mailing list.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how many people call into radio stations still. Because I know at least one person who won tickets for the concert that's going on right now by doing that, by giving the radio station her number and her name.
If you don't believe these contests are worth a damn, here's what you do. Go to your local mall.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, if it's a big enough mall, somewhere they're doing one of those damned put your name in a hat, win a vacation, win a car thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Little kiosks?
Yeah.
Just grab a drink and watch how many people do it.
Yeah.
You probably will see dozens of people, even on a slower day, do it. Why? Because people pick,
somebody's got
to
win it.
Somebody's got to win, exactly. And it's free to me to enter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, this is a great way to build up your contact list and to get your name out there and get other people's contact information. And if you make sure that the contest rules specify that information has to be valid to win, it can also help make sure that they don't just put bogus information in, which is a real problem sometimes when you try to get the information from them at front of house or after they've gone through.
Right. So what we're going to do then is we're going to hold a contest to give away free tickets to our haunt, right?
I don't think that works so good in our case, dear.
Why not?
We might need a new prize, one that isn't already free. I know it can feel like some of the customers are real morons, but they're not.
Okay.
No, I'm joking, of course, but
Real quick on the email list, another way to build your email list during season is to have a guest book.
Yes, absolutely. And that's another thing that I'm always surprised about is how many people stop on the way out of a haunt to put their name and email address in a guest book. You would think that would be a dead habit reserved only for funerals and really obnoxious parties.
We're kind of funeral adjacent.
Okay, fair. Fair is fair. Fair is fair. But anyways, then enter your name to win's most basic. Now, one that was actually discussed at HauntCon I thought was interesting was a haunt ran a contest that said, stay one night in our haunt. He had a haunted hotel theme going.
Right.
And win, I think it was a vacation.
Right.
And the vacation, he ended up paying out two.
Mm-hmm.
So they cost him about $10,000. Expensive. But he got so much media attention. He estimated he got over $100,000 worth of media attention for that 10K.
Yeah, which is a great investment. Great turnaround.
That's a 10X return.
Yeah.
So, maybe not a vacation if that's outside your budget.
Yeah.
But something of value, $1,000 maybe, like that.
No.
You can get some insane return on your investment for that. Yes, you'll probably have to pay it out because once someone gets to that phase, they can probably make it through, even with your best scare actors trying to run them out. But
right.
The point remains that you can gain so much from that, so much attention, so much press, and it will really put you head over shoulders. And this can be really great if you're in a market that is super competitive in advertising.
Yeah.
This gives you that little leg up.
Yeah, and also, in that case, the scare actors would get a bonus.
Yes, $500 bonus.
A $500 bonus if they were able to scare the patron out of the hotel before the night was through.
Yeah, and I think, I'm trying to remember how exactly it went down, but the idea of the contest was they were going to pick five people at the end. So basically, like, a crap ton of people entered.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane number of people entered.
More than he could ever imagine.
More than he could ever fathom.
Right.
He drew five names out. Two were bumped off immediately because they didn't actually qualify. They were underage.
Yeah.
Basically, they were under, I think it was 18 to enter. They were under 18.
Right.
Couldn't do it. Under 18, under 13, you could be over 13 to enter, but you had to be over 18 to participate in the actual event. So they were bumped off immediately. One person got scared off, or at least so scared she broke the rules egregiously enough that it counted.
Right.
And honestly, thinking back on it, I think he just paid $1,000.
Yeah.
I think I remember that wrong.
Yeah.
I really should have looked that one up. I didn't plan on talking about it.
Sorry.
A lot of this podcast is highly unplanned.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is, so he paid out to two people and got tens of thousands of sign-ups and tons of media attention, and it was a boon for him.
Right. Yep.
Another idea, design a scare contest or design a room contest. Who hasn't wanted to design a room in their favorite haunted house?
Yeah.
So get input from the public. Give public a little bit of ownership on it and let them feel a little bit of ownership.
Yeah, not only that, but you could also give them, like, a picture with their name or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of credit like you would see in a movie, like a walk-on in a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Be in our haunt. Here's your photo, your painting of you hanging in this gallery or whatever.
Right.
Something like that also can work. Social media contests, I think, are really, really great, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because social media is inherently social. It's in the name.
Right.
So you can do things like submit your best photos, submit your best slogan, submit your best...
No.
You know, get people to participate. And especially encourage people to, like, try to rally the most retweets or likes or shares or something.
Yeah.
That way they're encouraging others to help spread your message.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid, but it does really work.
Help us reach this number of... You know, people liking our page and the first 100 or whatever get a small prize.
Exactly. Make it something where people are really pushing to get to that top bar.
And do you think that putting a specific number in there is important, like a goal?
Goals typically work very well. This is something I've noticed with petition sites. I don't actually sign a lot of petitions, but I see a lot of petitions in my line of work.
Right.
And one thing I'll notice is that even if the petition theoretically has an unlimited number of signatures, they won't.
Right.
They just want all the signatures they can get. What they'll say is, help us get to 500 signatures.
Right.
When people sign, they get to 501, then the number just changes. Help us get to 1,000.
Right.
Help us get to 2,000.
Exactly.
And then it keeps, So specific numbers as a goal does help. But the main thing with these campaigns is to remember to be creative. Don't just simply do what others have done. Come up with your own ideas. We're just giving examples.
Yeah.
I know this is frustrating. We're not saying copy what we're saying, but maybe consider trying to find ways that you can take these ideas and spin them into your own.
Right.
Now, okay, go ahead.
One quick idea for a place to put a marketing thing is your local school newspapers.
Yes.
And that's something that you have to do at the beginning of the year is to reserve your spot. Because they usually aren't weekly.
No, they're not. They're usually either bi-weekly or monthly. But also, like I said, you have to reserve your spot pretty soon. And considering most schools are probably getting ready to get back into session right as we're talking.
Yeah.
Now's the time to start calling.
Exactly.
Like today.
Exactly. That's why I'm mentioning it.
Today. I think we're going to be going live with this August 1st.
Yeah.
So yeah, now.
Now.
Start calling.
Yep.
Other digital campaign ideas. you know, this one's going to be kind of a debate topic, I suspect, but I'm kind of curious to see what happens over the next few months with Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people be harsh against the game, but I think that, once again, it is a social aspect.
Yes.
It has people meeting new people, yes, and going out and to new places.
Yes. To give an example, we both are players of,
yes,
it. So, you know, already getting the shoes thrown at us, it's okay, just hear us out a minute, hear us out, all right? We actually have something productive to say here, people.
Yeah.
There is a business park not far from our house.
Right.
That is very beautiful, actually. It's a very beautiful business.
Yeah. It has never been able to keep stuff in there, though.
It's positioned around a nice, gorgeous fountain. It's two stories. It looks like a little... You would swear it's a retirement village if you didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least high-end boutiques.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what I expect to see there.
You're absolutely right. It's never been able to keep much in there consistently because it's never gotten any foot traffic.
Right.
Somehow... They have about 10 Pokestops around the quarter-mile loop.
Yeah.
It is bonkers.
Yeah.
The amount of Pokestops they have in this very, very tiny area. And the businesses are dropping lures. They're doing everything they can. And we were out there after the businesses were closed a few nights ago, and they were still welcoming people.
Right.
And there was, hundreds of people?
Yeah, hundreds of people just wandering around to these different businesses all day long.
And learning about what these businesses are, what they do, about the restaurants in there.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that many people in that park, period.
No.
And it's bad because there is one restaurant in there we do like and used to go to, at least, very regularly.
Yeah, there's two. No. Mojo's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You mean Voodoo?
No.
Okay.
I mean both.
Okay, fine. Anyways, the point of the matter remains that we've never seen that many people there total. And now it's crazy gangbusters and people eating at the restaurants in there for Pokestops.
Right.
This can be a potentially big deal.
Yeah, a lot of the times if we're going to eat out, we're going to look up if a Pokestop is at the restaurant so we can sit there and drop a lure, we'll catch stuff.
Grab a couple beers, hang out, you know, chill. So, yeah.
We also, from a business standpoint, that's, you know... It can be a real boon.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Right now, requesting a Pokestop is free.
Yeah.
There's literally no reason you shouldn't just go on the website and request one right now for your haunt.
Yeah.
All you need is a good photo of something that's permanent and year-round outside the haunt, an explanation of why it's a cultural touchstone or cultural place.
Right.
And that's it. And... You know what? Because the thing about it is, not only does it draw people there to visit the Pokestop has information about you. It has your name, has a photo, and from that people can learn what you're about.
Right.
And that's potentially a boon. Now, here's the thing. They are going to be introducing paid stops and other things soon. As far as that goes, I would personally wait and see how this game is doing come season.
Right.
Because we've got at least a month before season begins. Already the number of players is dropping off. I still think it'll be very popular in September.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, it'll be a great thing for people to do in line while they're waiting to get in.
Yeah. that actually is a really good point. You know, you have a Pokestop there, you drop lures. How much is it to, like, lure a haunt for about four? If I remember correctly, it's like $5. It ends up being fairly cheap.
Yeah, I think I'm looking out now.
If you buy, like, Poke coins in bulk, and the lures in bulk, it's very, very cheap per half an hour. It ends up being something like a few bucks a day.
Yeah, which is it's not even a ticket.
And if basically speaking, if you've got that lure going, at the very least, people in line can catch Pokemon while they're in line and play the game and enjoy it. And it gives people a reason to come. But yeah, I would really, as far as like the paid Pokestops and the paid advertising promotion that's coming, I'd hang back a little bit and see what happens. Give it another few weeks. See which way the trend's going. What's up?
It's about $10 for 16 lures.
Okay.
Which are 30 minutes each.
Okay. So if you did it 5 hours, it'd be $10.
Yep.
Okay. So that's not too bad.
Nope.
Hang on to that one. Another one, and I read this on another site. This one was interesting. I think it applied to the haunt industry. Dating apps.
Yeah, I read that in the notes, and I'm like, are you sure you meant to put that in here?
No, I did. Basically, the idea is you either partner with a dating app or create one yourself to pair people with others to go to the haunt with. Either as a date or just as a friend, even.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people out there who like going to haunts, but like going socially and maybe can't find someone to go with.
Yeah.
So maybe the prospect of making a new friend or finding someone a new date,
Yeah.
Might help motivate them.
This could be fun because I know that every time I meet someone who looks like they might be haunty, I'm all like, you're my friend. You're my people. Come here.
I want to pet you and squeeze you and love you into itty bitty pieces.
Exactly. And call you George.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically speaking, though, you can do this with off-the-shelf software. It can be done pretty easily. And yeah, it's just an idea that was out there, and like restaurants have been doing it with some success. So I thought it was an interesting idea. I just wanted to throw that one out. I'm not sure exactly all the details on it. I'll leave that to someone else, but I thought it was a cool idea when I saw it.
You could have people rate themselves scaredy cat or hardcore haunter.
Yeah, they have little questionnaires. You pair people up with, they can like questionnaires relevant to your haunt specifically or haunting in general. It could be fun.
It could.
Okay. And of course, I have to mention viral videos. I don't think you're allowed to have a conversation about guerrilla marketing without saying the word viral video at least 5 times.
No.
So viral video, viral video, viral video, viral video.
All right, got it. You're good. You met the requirement.
Yeah. But, I mean, like with haunts, we've seen the Scare of the Night campaigns. Those can be very effective, especially if you're the only one doing it in your area. Parody videos, story/mystery videos, well-produced story videos can go well. And also, these can work well with contests, sharing people, getting people to view it, making this a requirement of entering the contest. The basic problem with viral videos is that it's so unpredictable as to what will and will not take off and be marketing.
Right.
You know, and it can be kind of brutal to spend all this time and all this energy creating a video and then have like 40 people watch it.
Yeah.
And I know I've been there, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. Sorry, I was just thinking of a new idea.
Uh-oh,
or maybe an old idea. I don't know. Well, I was thinking that, because you know that there are things like geocache.
Yeah.
Where you put in coordinates and you go there and then you can find out the history and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What if you did that, but you left either the little scan codes or something, which would pull up a video that would tell you the story behind your haunt. So you go to the first one, you get the first piece of the puzzle, and it gives you the location for the next piece. And all the while, you get your customers to start at one place and get closer and closer to your haunt.
Yeah, check out geocaching.com if you're not familiar. That's geocaching.com if you're not familiar with geocaching. That could be a very interesting idea. Yeah, that's another guerrilla marketing tactic, but I didn't mention it was geocaches.
Yeah.
It's like Pokemon Go, but real.
Yeah. Well, before Pokemon Go, we described it as a treasure chest played globally. Yeah, a treasure hunt played globally.
You know, basically, it's like the old joke. We spend multi-billion-dollar GPS satellites to hunt down ammo boxes in the woods.
Yeah.
Which is accurate.
Yes.
But the point remains, it can be a great way. Like, we've left geocaches at haunts before to get people to go there. And that worked out reasonably well. But, yeah, I like your idea of a geocache-based scavenger hunt type thing. That'd be kind of cool. One thing to never forget is to have you, your actors, and everyone else, and this is moving on to a different topic, always be talking about your haunt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, don't annoy your friends. You've already told them.
Yes, they know you.
But the new people you meet, make sure early in the conversation they know about your haunt.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in all of the interviews I did just last month, including the job I got, I said, okay, so in October...
Kiss off.
I'm going to need a few days off because I have a haunted house.
Yes.
And actually, I think that's one of the things that got me this job was that I told them that we used guerrilla marketing techniques to get the people here, and they are looking for inventive and creative ways to advertise
their department.
Their department, yeah. Because I'm now working for a college, so the department's struggling, so I'll be implementing some of these ideas there.
Yeah, sounds good. And like I said in the beginning, always, always, always have flyers.
Oh, yeah.
Always have flyers. Always have last year's flyers at the very damn least. This year's flyers after you get them.
Right.
If you got them already. And like I said, if you're not actively listening to this in your house and you do not have flyers within a couple of minutes of you.
Yeah.
You done goofed. Do better. Because...
Maybe instead of business cards, we should get some off-season flyers.
Exactly. You know, that's not a bad idea. Off-season flyers that are the size of business cards is not a bad idea. The basic idea here is you always want to have something physical so that when you have that conversation and they're interested in you, you say, here, look up more on your own time.
Yeah.
You've given them something that they will hold on to. And at least, even if they throw it away a week or two down the line, that's, you touch them multiple times because you talk to them. They will probably look up the website. They'll probably see that card at least a couple more times.
Right.
You touch them, you've interacted with them a few more times. And it's, in marketing, it's those points of contact that are crucial.
Yeah.
Because you have to have so many points of contact before you even have the potential for a sale.
Right.
And how much it is depends upon the industry, the service, the product, or whatever. But there's a definite amount you need to have. Now we're wrapping up here. We're running out of time. But a few general tips for guerrilla marketing. One, focus locally.
Yeah.
Look within your haunt, and if at all possible, focus within the area about a 5-mile radius.
Right. And if you are rural or a suburb of a big city, don't forget your suburbanites.
Yeah.
Don't just advertise in the big city that's next door.
And that was really frustrating in one haunt we worked at where they were in a city that's outside of New Orleans, a more rural upriver city. And the issue was they kept focusing all their marketing on New Orleans, trying to get New Orleanians to come out to upriver.
Yeah, they won't even cross the river.
They won't even cross the river to visit in the city. All right?
Yeah.
We're technically New Orleans Parish. They won't come visit us. They're not going to, you know, upriver a ways.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're talking to people in their town who've never heard of them.
Yeah.
And that's, like, we have a haunted house in this town?
Yeah.
Like, ugh. You know, it's really frustrating.
Yeah. And this usually happened when we would finish at the end of the night and go to one of the numerous 24-hour places to eat.
Yep.
Waffle House, Denny's, whatever was open, Huddle House. And they would say, where are you guys coming from?
Yeah, wait, you're all made up. And
it's not Halloween.
It's not Halloween. It's not for 2 weeks. What's going on here? I don't know if I trust you guys.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we worked with a little haunted house up there. There's a haunted house in the state. Yeah, the exact conversation played out at least half a dozen times.
More than that. And every year.
Every year, too. So focus locally to begin with. Try to reach your neighbors first. You'd be surprised just how, I don't want to say clueless, but how unaware your local community can be about you.
Right.
If you don't reach out to them. Focus locally and do keep in mind who is, you know, your audience. Who is coming through? How old are they? Male, female? Look at the demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Look at everything and try to make sure that your guerrilla marketing, as along with all your marketing, is reaching that audience or is reaching to a more desirable audience if there is one.
Yeah.
If, you know, you're only reaching 12-year-olds, maybe you should try to move up.
Maybe you should see about contacting the school to see if you can go to the high school football game and hand out koozies at halftime.
Exactly. See if you can get to an older range. But the main thing is you want to hit your target market. And your target market is probably either going to be what you have now or what is adjacent to it.
Right.
So just focus on those two things. Focus on your target market and focus on where you are first. Because like I said, with guerrilla marketing, this stuff don't scale, dude. You're not going to be doing this nationwide.
Right.
You need to pick, you know, your sweet spot, and that almost certainly is going to be your home, your house. So stay local and stay with who is coming to your haunt.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add? I think we've covered this pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
We tossed out some pretty interesting ideas. I've thought of a few through the course of this conversation.
Me too.
That geocaching one actually was pretty sweet. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Could be a great way to instill a little mystery, especially if you got like a good, like we have City Park here.
Yeah.
Which is, can be in parts of it pretty spooky and dark and isolated and woody, and that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I could see doing that.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us for this past near hour. We greatly appreciate your time and attention. Once again, we are Haunt Weekly. You can find more out about us at hauntweekly.com. Find us on Facebook at
Haunt Weekly.
Find us on Twitter at
Haunt Weekly.
Wow, it's like we had a theme going or something. Yes, we are Haunt Weekly. All things new site is in the progress. We will let you know the minute that goes. We'll probably do a week it goes live.
Yeah, I'm going to miss my August 1st deadline, aren't
I? Yeah, you know, you got 3 hours. Hurry it up. Get working.
All right.
There is a site in progress. I swear I've seen it.
Yes.
I have seen it.
Yes.
So, yes, I do know it exists. We will have that online as soon as possible. But in the meantime, thank you very much for joining us. Once again, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
This was Haunt Weekly, episode number 35 for guerrilla marketing.
I knew you were going to do that on air.
just come back next week. We're doing the news. See you then.